just last week and for this month of June. And each month we're going to kind of launch into a special summertime series. So we're really excited about it. But for this month of June, we're talking about asking for a friend. And I think we're all aware of kind of what that concept or what that thought is. We're going to talk about some things over this month of June that maybe we're a little afraid to bring up, or should we talk about that in church? Maybe some things that people might be embarrassed about, or what stand or position should we take when we consider some of these things? So we're going to talk about some things maybe you would be afraid to bring up. So again, you don't have to panic today. I'm going to bring them up for you, all right? And last week we talked about some things that I got more reaction and some more positive feedback. Is we talked about the issue of relationships that we are facing in our world today as well, and what God has to say about that. And we're gonna take on another one that maybe it's a little struggle to bring up in church, or just what kind of position do we need to take as a believer. So this morning, again, if you want to take out your devices, or if you want to jump on the sermon notes or whatever, I've entitled today, When Okay is Not Okay.
Oh, any recommendations?
The salmon roll's okay.
Just okay?
Is it fresh?
Sort of. The chef had it this morning. Unfortunately, he went home sick, but he left instructions with Kyle.
This fish is raw.
Do we need a minute?
Yes. Yeah.
Just okay is not okay.
How many know just okay is not okay, right? And so we're going to talk about over this month of June together some of the issues that people have, sometimes the labels that get attached to people. We're going to talk about some church hot potato kind of things, just culturally where we stand, or what kind of issues that have transpired over the last decades, and what positions do we need to take. On the last Sunday of the month, we're actually going to field through our app and maybe some live question and answers, and maybe some things that are kind of burning on your heart about what position do we need to take as believers or as the church. And I may have some friends to help me on that last Sunday, and we'll maybe take some live questions and give you some opportunity to get some questions turned in as well. But today I want to talk about the issues of depression, about anxiety, about mental strength or mental issues as well. I know that there are a lot of things that are transpiring in our culture today that we realize that this is one segment of an issue that sometimes the church is quite silent about. On April 5th of 2013, Pastor Rick and Kay Warren's son Matthew took his own life. He was only 27 years old and yet had struggled with depression most of his entire life, all of his adult life. And if you're here today and you think that only people with terrible home lives, or those that struggle with poverty, or those that are homeless are the only ones that are struggling with depression or anxiety or mental issues, and if some of you know that name today, and whether you agree or not with their purpose-driven network, I want you to hear me today that the Warrens pastor one of America's largest churches. Over 25,000 people attend Saddleback every weekend in Southern California. His books have been sold by the multi-millions over the last 25 years. His ministry strategies have been replicated thousands of times over. And yet, here's the question for me. After doing so much for God, after putting his family out there, after giving it all for the gospel, an incredible tragedy came to their home in the form of depression and mental sickness. How does that equate in our lives when we feel maybe as believers, as people that are working for God, find ourselves in these tragic and terrible situations? And how do we deal with people on some of the things that we can't experience or touch or know, that there doesn't seem to be some science that we equate with to bring healing or direction in their life? From that time, the Warrens have been very open about their son's death and the process for the church to help people that struggle with mental illness. Unfortunately, there's often a stigma that gets attached with these diagnoses. It's something that may be changing of late, but it seems as if having faith in Jesus makes you immune from, from suffering mental illness has kind of been the mantra. So I want to talk about that a little bit today. And I know that the format, I think that through June, if you're new with us today, I tend to be a preacher. But I think that this series in June is going to make me a little bit more of a teacher, all right? So it kind of steps into a little bit different role for me. I know that I usually love it when you amen. I don't know if there's going to be amens in these kind of series or not. You can still do that, though, right? Amen, all right. So if it hits a nerve, that's cool with me today. I think the church's response to, quote, body issues is usually around gluttony. How many, right? I mean, whenever we think about anything that kind of deals with kind of this physical body, we kind of beeline to, well, you know what the Bible says about gluttony, right? Especially while we're doing church buffets, right? The endless table of food for that. Or maybe you're familiar with whenever there's kind of a struggle physically that people have, one of the things that we're quick to talk about is, hey, be careful. Remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? As if that's no pressure over anything, right? And so I think that we have just kind of been defaulted to a few of these items or issues, and there are other ones that we're a little afraid to tackle or take on. And I think this issue of stress and depression and mental illness and struggle are one of those things that the church, unfortunately, stays a little bit silent to. It's something that maybe people that come that wonder that we take a lot of time for other bodily or physical ailments that we might face. But when talking about this issue of mental illness, we just kind of want to say, hey, let's hold on there a little bit. So I want us to jump into that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't you realize that your body, how many know mind, right? Physical, everything that is connected is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a price. And so we are to honor God with our body. Now that's far beyond, again, the gluttony issue or any of the other items that we might face. We're quick to talk about drinking or drugs or tattoos or when we think about these body issues, and yet we also realize that there are countless thousands and millions of people that in our body that we are still struggling with emotional or mental sickness or illness as well. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization, they say nearly 1 in 5 adults here in the U.S., 43 million people experience mental illness in a given year. 21%, if you're not sure about that number, 21% of youth ages 13 to 16 will experience a severe mental disorder at some point in their lifetime. So it might not be an issue that we talk about much, but it is a topic that we should talk about today. Amen? So let me kind of just talk about a couple of things with you. I'll talk to you certainly not as a clinical specialist or expert, but over the last 30 years, certainly in a pastoral sense, Debbie and I have cared and looked after hundreds, thousands of people with all kinds of challenges and issues in their life. And so I want to talk to you about a couple of causes that I think that Debbie and I have helped to try to minister and direct people with. And I want you to keep it in the context of that understanding, certainly from a pastoral sense today, with certainly information and research and understanding that I have. But I don't mean for any of these issues to sound simple, or I'm not here to give you some quick or easy fix today. I know there's a lot of complexity with this, and there maybe are some of you here today that struggle with some of these issues and challenges as well. And so we want to provide a context that you're in a place of love, of family, and we felt like this month that we wanted to talk about some things that we wouldn't normally address, but we understand that there are some issues. And not only maybe for you, but maybe people in your home or people in your life. And so what is our response to that? Again, we talked about an edgier kind of issue last week about relationships and the right relationships or unnatural relationships. And it wasn't for us here to do any bashing. It was here for us to understand what our heart and how we need to respond to people that are living contrary to how the Word of God directs us to live. And so I want to share today as well with compassion for people that are living under the drama or the stress, the trauma or the stress of not having people understand some of the issues that they may struggle or go with as well. So today I want to bring this issue to light for the sake of, I know maybe today a larger or a diverse crowd where there may be a variety of understandings to this issue. And so I want to keep kind of my notes certainly in a neutral position for teaching today, because I know that there could always be a, well, what about this and what about that and what if? I know there's kind of a thousand roads into this, but I kind of want to start from God's heart and direction, and more than anything else, and to knowing that you are loved, you are cared for. The church should have a dynamic response for any of you that struggle in these areas, and the people that you know, that we should be people of love and of compassion, of patience and understanding, and of healing as well, amen? Of healing of mental issues or depression, anxieties, however they may fit as well. So let me give you a couple of kind of lead-in positions that I think it's important for us to talk about this morning. So what is our take when we talk about some of these issues that might be causes to overwhelm us mentally this morning? I want to talk to you, first of all, about personal pressures, about how some people find themselves in these areas based on personal pressure. Anxiety, pressure, panic attacks, they all are often, we face them at times when there is seemingly no resolve or conclusion of some of the things that we are struggling to comprehend. Our world is seemingly not getting easier, but it's getting more difficult. And the stress and the pressure and the timing and the push people mentally to the brink. And they can't meet deadlines. They can't get answers. They can't get people to do what they need to be doing. And even more today, it is leading to anxiety, to panic attacks, and stress as we are trying to bring resolve to conclusions that we don't have an answer to be able to comprehend. And so some of them, these pressures come on very acutely, powerfully, overwhelming to people. And most of them at times have kind of a slow fuse that we might not even are aware that it has been lit. We seem to be functioning. We seem to be doing fine. Everything seems to be okay. And then there's a trip. There's a trigger that happens. It might seem to be unrelated to what we are going through or what we are dealing with inside. And all of a sudden, this rage of emotion comes out. Maybe it's through anger, through its words. Maybe it's through crying or tears or being locked in or not wanting to get out of your bed. And sometimes we feel that within ourselves as a believer, how and why is this happening? And those of us that are associated with people that are dealing with this, we struggle to understand what is going on with them and how we can help them or understand what help there is for them when these kind of things take place. I did a little road trip with Jocelyn and Allie a couple of weeks ago. And so I was locked in a car for 8 hours with, I don't know, I guess I'll call you millennials. I don't know what you are, but millennials, right? And how many know that as we move through culture, everybody deals and relates with issues differently, right? We're celebrating the 75 years of D-Day in Normandy, right? And man, great honor to all of those people that were a part of that. And they have been labeled what? The greatest generation, right? We just feel like, man, that group, I mean, no matter, tough, no matter. They'll get tougher, right, to happen. How many know we're not living necessarily in the toughest culture today, right? And so I'm listening to these two chat away and all this stuff that's going on and little things or things that they're happening. And what I hear is, oh, I'm so stressed. Oh, that makes me so stressed, right? Now, they're not talking about major stressful issues. A lot of it is just kind of a byline of today's culture, right? Something that's minor takes place and instantly this generation, everybody is stressed. How many know what I'm talking about, right? If you're not sure, do a road trip with a millennial. You'll totally get what I'm talking about. Over the last couple of years, there was a legitimate thing, right, on Facebook. Kids were, I don't know if they were killing themselves. I know we're going back a couple of years, but there was this big outcry that if you posted something on Facebook and you didn't get 100 likes, right? Kids were like all out of their mind, right? That I'm not liked, I'm not accepted, what's wrong with me? And there was a whole thing about if you post and you don't get a required number of likes, I mean, your life is over. Somebody, please, right? And it's easy for us, maybe older or part of another generation, just to scratch our heads and say, like, what is wrong with these people? Well, there's a little bit of both that's in there. There are some things in our culture that are allowing people to get completely just obsessed over some of the most craziest things, right? And we're stressed out and we're tapped out and we're overwhelmed and it's like a snowball that it doesn't seem like it's gonna slow down. It's only getting more and more. One of the stories that Jeff Leake told about himself, he pastors Allison Park Church in North Pittsburgh. He's one of our overseeing pastors when we launched the church. Jeff and was one of the pastors to say, hey, I'll walk with you. We'll help real life kind of get a jump start. And a number of years ago, Allison Park was experiencing growth, and they began planting churches and began to be a leader in the nation, really, in planting churches, now not just in Pittsburgh, but across the Northeast. And Jeff told a story on himself a number of years ago in this process that as they began to plant churches, that now they were facing bigger and bigger budgets, that they had to be training more and more leaders. They were buying property. There were a lot of big things that were on the line. They were having to fight to get town permits and town ordinances. All this stuff, listen, that they never teach us in Bible school, okay? I don't know if you understand that, but I think 95% of what I do, they didn't tell me any of that in Bible school that we find ourselves doing. And with that comes pressure. Raising tons and tons of money and dealing with people and dealing with city officials and knowing deadlines and timelines and all the things that have to go into that. Plus, there was also resistance from people and the devil. Hello? Because he didn't want to see more and more churches get established either. And one Saturday, he was in his office going over kind of final prep for Sunday when he literally started to go blind. Sitting at his desk, as if you could imagine yourself, if I could just kind of make it real for you, his description was, I just went blind. I could not see. I began to stumble around in my office. I was reaching for things. And then he began to feel this overwhelming power of like a migraine headache. He found himself in a fetal position under his desk in his office, writhing and crying out in pain. Again, seemingly going through this moment, through all of these challenges, kind of, man, just give me the next giant and watch it fall. And I relate in many ways. When you stand in front of people, hopefully I don't kind of come in here Sunday with a kind of an Eeyore approach to ministry, right? Well, here we are again, right? I mean, there's some part of leadership, even if the ship is going down, strike up the band like we are going to go down in a blaze of glory. Amen? Right? And so there is this pressure that as a leader that we're trying to lead the charge, yet we are a physical being. We are a mental being. There are no superpowers in me, right? Obviously, we have the Holy Spirit, but obviously on the work of God in our life, we are still flesh and blood, right? And so you, me, we're kind of all in it together. And he was leading the charge. Wonderful things were happening. And yet mentally, he was being crushed from the inside out. And he had to step away from ministry for a while. He had to go to his church leadership and say, I don't know what's happening to me, but I can't go on. I can't function for a while. Again, we've heard terms over the last couple of years about burnout, right? That we just get so overwhelmed. And some of us are in a position where we feel like we can't let you down. We can't, sadly, feel like we can't let God down. as if somehow God's work is not going to get accomplished if Jim isn't on the platform or in his office at Real Life, right? How foolish, but it's kind of the culture and the level that we have placed ourselves in. And so some of the cause at times of our disorder or these challenges are the personal pressures that we find ourselves in. There's personal past that can be another one. Back in the day, I know the repeated response to people dealing with issues in their past, kind of from the church, was just simply, just pray about it, right? So that was kind of the response. If you came to a church leader or maybe even to a pastor and began to talk about some of these things that we don't quite have a handle on it, it seemed like the patented response was simply, well, you seem to pray about it, right? Well, obviously, that's good advice. How many know we're not going to keep prayer out of the mix? But often that is insufficient for people that are facing deep issues from their past. Mistakes, abuse, wounds, we realize today often take more than just a spiritual approach, but also can be accompanied by an emotional and a community, a church family approach as well. I understand, again, from my perspective with you today, that most people just can't pray away their abuse, their mistakes, or their deep wounds. It takes more than that. Now, in defense of kind of the earlier church, the community that simply said, hey, just pray about it, I do understand that often that as a community, they would stay with that person, in my opinion, much longer than at times we feel like we would stay with a person today. So although they kind of said, hey, just pray about it, they were willing to stand with them and pray it through. They would stay the midnight hours. They would check. They would surround them. I mean, they did whatever they could to somehow, although they may not understand the issue, they surrounded those people with love and concern and prayer for that. Unfortunately, the issue of abuse and hurts in people's past is not going away, and it is getting only higher and higher as time goes on. And so combined with a shift in our culture that can easily lead to isolation. See, the challenge for a lot of us is that we feel like no one cares. That's the root at times of depression or anxiety, is that as it caves in on us, kind of like that black hole, we kind of feel like no one cares. And that ultimately leads to isolation, and we pull ourselves away. We leave the family. We lock ourselves in our room. We can't get out of bed. And there are a lot of questions that are swirling in the consciousness of the person. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know what is happening to me. We know that it is very real for that to take place. And so combined with this shift in our culture that leads to isolation, we understand today that there is a need for counseling, whether it's pastoral counseling, professional counseling, possible medication, and personal care to help people so that can all get implemented into a recovery of what they are dealing with. Here's one other thing that I want to share with you. Because you and I may not struggle with emotional issues, that is not carte blanche that no one else does and that they just need to deal with it, right? We have to be understanding. We have to be moved with compassion for people that find themselves facing these issues in life. You see, there are certain abuses that can cause a person to be sent into an alternative trajectory that can make it difficult for maybe a non-abused person to come to grips with what someone is dealing with. When someone is wounded or abused, especially young in their life, it just moves them into a different shift of life. They aren't thinking like you and I think. They don't respond like you and I think. And because we haven't experienced that in our life, it's just kind of very quick for us to say, just deal with it. Just like get better. But it's not that easy. They can't just get over it. And so there has to be a response, I think, as a believer and as the church to help people with these kind of issues in their lives. As most of us would not take, as most of us would take time for someone who was blind or deaf or crippled or have some other obvious physical challenge, we need to be equally sensitive to those that face mental challenges as well. And this is a new era, and this is something I think for the church that we be open to step into as well. Let me talk to you about another cause, one that I would say personal patterns. In recognizing that many of these issues are real, I do understand that some people get stuck because of their unwillingness to make the needed changes to get them on the path for wellness. And so when we are kind of faced with these issues before they become deep-rooted or seated into our life, there does have to be a community approach. There also has to be a personal approach that we can be comfortable with to know that I need to get some help before this becomes a real problem for me and those that are around. Many times they are capable of making that happen. It's just that there is undiscipline in them, in us, to get us into a place where we can give help. And how many know that we are living in the age of the enabler today as well, right? And so that brings out a unique challenge as well for people that may be undisciplined or know better but just refuse to get the help that they need. We know that as a culture, we are living in a place where you're going to be coddled and cradled. And again, if there is legitimate need, that's wonderful. But for some, where it's just a matter of some undiscipline in their life that just keeps launching them back into these destructive lifestyles, it's time that we help people with that as well. How many have heard the term of a helicopter parent? Am I popping some new stuff out there on you today? Those are those parents that you're just not letting your kid experience the ups and downs of life. No matter whether they're toddlers or teenagers, there's always a mama hen, right? Just like, woo, woo, don't do that. You're going to get, watch out. They have to be involved in everything, in every aspect of their child's life. It's like they should just bubble wrap them, right, when they send them out the door and just let them go knowing that they'll somehow be completely protected and nothing bad is ever going to happen to them in life. How many know that on your kids' sports teams today, it's all about the tie, right? We can't afford for your kids to lose at T-ball. It's going to crush their tiny spirits, and they won't be able to be productive in all of their adult life, and America is doomed and dying, right? Everyone has to get a trophy. We can't just have one winner. Everybody's a winner, right? Nobody in school, everybody gets at least a C. Nobody fails anymore, right? Again, part of this in the aspect of undisciplined, of just kind of riding this cultural wave that says, listen, I can do the bare minimum and I'll just kind of scoot by. Listen, that's not good living principles. You see, when we live in a world with no consequence, it's much easier for people in these areas to self-sabotage as well, to stay stuck where they're at. Please understand my words. Again, I started with certainly love, compassion, understanding all of these things, and that is a huge component of people when the needs are legitimate and when they are real. However, there is a growing part of our society that are dealing with anxiety and stress and depression and all those kind of areas simply because as a culture we are enabling them, that we are allowing them to self-sabotage. I hope, I don't know if it's you, I don't have anybody in mind, but it makes me grimace a little bit when people put out on Facebook, right, these little kind of inviting kind of lines, you know, having a hard day, you know, life's no good, I don't know what to do, and they just like dot it, right? And all of a sudden, I mean, there's this outpour of, oh no, right? And I think there's a part of me that says, I think people are just doing that to do it. Not sure there's like this overwhelming need that, and if there is, can and if there is and that's you, can I just give you another piece of advice? My office is where you need to deal with that, not launching it out on Facebook and social media if you really want help and the deliverance of God over your life. Oh, I got that. I didn't get anything for my shirt or my pants joke, but all of a sudden now you're with me. So again, it's the context about knowing that there are people that love and care for you and want to bring help and wholeness into your life. And yet we have been conditioned in our society just to throw it out there. And sadly, I think people throw it out there and then start counting their likes or the response, hoping to get to 100. Hello? As if somehow that's going to make me feel good. Somehow that's the answer to my situation. Can I tell you, your situation is way more intense. You just don't know it. And so I want you to know that as a church and as a pastor that we're here to help in some of those areas as well. So let me talk to you about, quote, some cures, okay? And again, I'll use that same kind of truth. I don't mean this to be oversimplistic. I'll just use the word because it starts with C, and I needed another word that started with C. No, that's not true either, all right? So let's talk about what are some cures to these challenges of depression, anxiety, mental illness, struggle. So obviously we know there are some clinical things that go far beyond our discussion today, but let's just kind of talk about some of the things, that the ins and outs, the day-to-days that maybe you and I find ourselves in our response to that. And I know that there are 1,000 of them. Let me just give you 3 of them today. For those of you that, again, when it's marginal, not understanding margins can be part of the help that we all need to make it through some challenging times, challenging days. There's no question our American culture drives us to the ragged edge. No matter who we talk to, no matter who I talk to, how's it going? Busy. Busy. How's it going? Oh, summer. Oh, I got the kids. I got the yard. I got to get the grass. Or we're putting an addition on. Busy. I'm going back to school. Busy. Busy. Right? I mean, we all live in that bubble as if, I think we would shock people. I don't know what people would do if when they ask how you're doing, perfect, living in the margins, everything's wonderful, got it all contained, just perfect. People would be like, what? Like, who are you? You can't be normal in this culture. There's got to be something wrong with you. You've got to have anxiety about something. We're going to be taking a team to Panama next year to do a construction project. You'll hear more about that in July. And as much as the work is hard, it's going to be brutal, it's going to be hot, it's going to be all that kind of stuff. The wonderful thing about the Latin American culture and a work culture is something called the siesta. In the middle of the workday, they're just like, all right, put all your tools down and just lay down for an hour. Oh, what? Like, where did America not adopt that principle, right? How wonderful of a culture. Listen, that's going to work for the Panamanians, not the real life guys. You're working through siesta, just to let you know that, all right? I looked up because I've heard the rumors of it. France, the nation of France, they have a 35-hour max work week. And every full-time worker is guaranteed 5 weeks of vacation by law. Oh, man, I thought there'd be a standing ovation. Hallelujah, right? Y'all want to move to France now, right? I mean, y'all already love their fries. So how do we understand margin? Let me give you this morning. You got to understand that the Sabbath is a real thing. It doesn't come from me. It comes from God. God worked and God rested. If you don't understand margins in your life, if you're the American that can't slow down, that can't stop working, that has to be going, that somehow that proves to yourself and to others that you're a hardworking man or woman, that your esteem is built on what you do or whatever, you're breaking one of God's principles. God created for 6 days everything that we could comprehend, and then God purposely said, and now I'm going to rest. And if you don't understand the margin of a Sabbath, that you are breaking one of God's principles. This is not my Sabbath today. I work all day today, but I find time in other parts of the week for a Sabbath for me. Now, I know it's kind of, again, against our American culture, right? I'm not slowing down. I'm not stopping. As if, again, in the same way we look at mental illness, as if there's something bad about us or wrong that we can rest, that we can let our mind rest, we can let our body rest. God says, that's okay. I realize your husband or wife might not say that's okay, but now you have a comeback, Pastor Jim said, right? Somebody say, God bless a hammock on a nice Saturday afternoon for a while, right? Rest is okay, I know, in our culture to talk about, harder to implement. You know, I've been clear with you over the last 10 years at Real Life, is that in our life and my family, is that we are not going to be able to get to every event or activity, whether sponsored by Real Life or by one of you. We love you. I wish that we could get to every event, and we get tons of invites, and you have all been very gracious over these 10 years, but I can't feel guilty to say we would love to come. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it because I have needs in my life. I have needs with my family, and I don't need an amen on that because you guys have been great about that, but I hope that you understand that doesn't work just for me. That works for you as well. I mean, I have 200 to 300 families that we can feel obligated to. And I know that we would try. Listen, I'm a party guy. I love hanging out. But I realize we can't get to everything all the time. And there's also a principle within the margins is that you and I don't have to be stressed about everything all the time. Hello? You're not understanding a God principle then of time management, of Sabbath, and of rest. And these are things, again, whether I can help you or other people can help you with. Now, here's number two, cure. It's a really long title. It'll probably fill the whole screen. So not understanding that we are precious to God. If you are living under this auspice that you're rejected, that God doesn't care for you, that God doesn't like you, that God's after you, or those kind of things. That's the comparison I'm making here. Listen, if you want cured from depression, anxiety, mental, of the common issues that you and I might face in life, you've got to start believing that you are precious to God. God knows who you are. God knows what you're going through. God loves you. God recognizes that sometimes life is going to come down, and it's going to be hard, but you have to understand God doesn't leave in that moment. God is there for you because you are precious in His sight. And to encourage then to walk in the wholeness under the context of unconditional love as a redeemed believer in Christ. You see, when we become isolated, when we kind of want to walk away, it's then very easy for us to translate that God doesn't care either, that God's after me, or if this or that, and none of that. You are precious in God's sight. Listen, God doesn't orchestrate the chaos that happens in our life, and God doesn't leave or abandon us. When we face it, God wants to ensure that there is unconditional love over you, and we want that to be felt through the family of God here at Real Life, that we are in it. When one suffers, we're all going to suffer. When one rejoices, we're all going to rejoice. So we want to be more accessible, certainly as a church, than just telling you to pray about it, but to spend time in not only the word and affirming God promises over your life, but understand that there may be other help that you can receive from us in love or even from a professional, whether that maybe takes medication to help restore a chemical imbalance that's hindering you and your healing because of a specific trauma. Listen, I want you to understand it's not true that every occurrence that you Maybe you need some meds to kind of bump you out of what you're going through. I want you to know that that doesn't mean that you're going to be on meds the rest of your life. Sometimes it's a short bump due to some chemical imbalance that is just locking you to get into some freedom that you know you need to have that is surrounded by a loving, caring, whether your own family or this godly family as well. Last one is to not understand God's forgiveness over your past or your patterns and how to live in it. It's really important. You see, you've got to believe with me that God is a past forgiver and a past forgetter. See, when it comes down to these issues of where it faces you and I today, where some of you get caught in the trap where you do really well, but then somebody brings up one of your past actions and it spirals you out of control again. You see, you've got to believe that what God said, am I telling you the truth from God's word today? That he's a past forgetter and a past forgiver? So I'm not making that up. And I realize it's not as easy as it sounds, okay? I'm giving you grace in that understanding. And I'm not talking necessarily about super deep wounds or deep abuse that you've walked through, because that's a whole process. But for some of us that have made mistakes, and maybe they've been some pretty good whoppers, or there have been some things, I want you to know that when we come to God and understand his forgiveness, this unconditional love that we strive to give, but certainly are not the best at it, God is the greatest at it. And you need to have that spoken over your life. And when somebody brings up the past, you simply be reminded that through the forgiveness and the grace of God, that that has been washed away, and God gives you a glorious present and a glorious future. Everybody say amen today. And stop getting spiraled out of control because of what man will say over you. Be affirmed today what God says over you, that you are precious, that you are loved. Have we made mistakes? Can we all raise our hands? That is not the end of you. That is to know that God loves to take broken things and blend them and reshape them and make you beautiful again in his sight from the inside out. See, the scriptures are extremely limited as to what God will not forgive. How many know that? And there's a really good chance here today that what's in your past doesn't qualify for that really thin line. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what I'm saying to you is my educated guess today is that what you have struggled with, God has no problem forgiving you and forgetting it and letting it be done. And we want you to walk and live in that. Let me give you a couple things quickly and then we're going to finish. So kind of from a little bit more of a professional standpoint, let me give you four things today. And we'll, if you again are on our app and the sermon notes, I put most of this on there. So I'm not going to rehash it all today. It's something that you can take with you and that you can go over and maybe spend the rest of this week as well. So this is not directly from me, but just some research and thoughts from some godly people. Mental illness is not a character defect or a spiritual disorder. So again, if you're kind of in that upper end of that, we want you to know. I know that it's often common practice in church to treat mental illness differently than other illnesses. Again, when we hear cancer diagnosis, we kind of rally all to that and whatever it is, but again, when we hear people that are struggling with mental illness, there's a sense of, I don't know what to do about that. And we want you to feel at real life, this is not a character defect. This is not a spiritual disorder. There's just some education. There's some truth that we need to not only understand, but to act on. In John chapter 9, just to talk to you about some differences and with understanding, when the disciples saw a man who was blind, do you know what question they asked Jesus? Whose fault, who sinned, the father or the mother, so that this guy was blind? See, that's just cultural ignorance. Jesus said that's not the case at all. And so it is for you and I as well, is that because there are struggles that we might face, this is not punishment from God. And there are people that need love and care and concern and respect and compassion. Mental illness doesn't equate with laziness or weakness or lack of willpower, nor does it automatically imply a demonic attack or spiritual disorder either. There's room in all of that for that, but it's not the instant go-to. Mental illness can result from a biological factor such as genetics, physical illness, injury, brain chemistry. It can also be influenced by life experiences such as trauma or a history of abuse or family that may have a history of mental health issues as well. People with mental issues don't just need prayer. Again, I've talked a little bit about this as well. Again, that we need to have love and compassion. We need to have professionals. There are some in this church that deal with that day in and day out from a professional standpoint. They are a great help to me as well when we have to speak to people where I know this is beyond me. This is beyond just the spiritual help that I can get. That we have professionals here in this church that's what God has gifted to them to bring blessing into people's lives. And we are blessed for that as well. Number three, mental illness doesn't reveal a lack of faith. There is no correlation with the levels of faith or spiritual maturity of some of the struggles that you might have or that I might walk through at times. People like C.S. Lewis, Charles Spurgeon, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther are all people that were documented at times to have deep depression, other kind of mental health issues. And so listen, it can happen to any of us of some of the things that we might experience, again, when it goes beyond our mental abilities to figure that out. And then lastly, people with mental illness don't need to just get fixed before they can be used by God. Now, obviously, there are helps that before within church ministry or whatever, there is some understanding and gentleness that we have to walk through with people. It's not carte blanche for anybody just to help out in any area. But in that same way, we're not looking to limit people from anything as well. I'm going to ask the band to come and help me. So, again, I know that kind of these Sundays aren't necessarily, quote, typical, but they are ways that I think some ideas and areas that need addressed in the area of the church. And for us to talk about what is not only our knowledge, but what is our expression in all of this as well. And so here's just kind of a closing that I want to share this morning. So kind of going into this week, I just kind of wrestled with the fact that I know that today was going to be a little bit more teachy and just maybe in the sense more informational and just kind of getting some help out there for you. And I can tell you last night, God just kind of smacked me in the head and said, no, there's way more to it, Jim. That this is an issue that we need to pray for and that we need to pray about. And so this morning, we are going to do that. This is not just a teaching moment. This is still church. This is still the place where we recognize. The thing is kind of interesting. I didn't know. I didn't look ahead at the set list. I knew that they were working based on what I was going to be speaking about. But God spoke the words to me yesterday, and we sang them a little earlier. God said, the healer is in the house. The healer is going to be in the house tomorrow. And I know that most times we call out to any of you that, quote, have some body or some physical ailment or issue. Come down and we want to pray for you. But never or rarely do we ever put out like today. Those of you that are struggling with mental issues, again, we're not talking necessarily some deep, you're not being labeled. Again, maybe there's some issues of just anxiety, panic, all these kind of fears, some whatever that you feel like that you're apt to or that you struggle with as well. I want you to hear me today. The healer is in the house this morning for you. God spoke something to me just before service began. I've been in church my whole life. I've kind of cut my teeth on kind of the big revivalists and camp meetings and preachers and healers that fill stadiums. And this has not been longly researched because God just kind of spoke it to me 30 minutes ago. But I want to say I've never heard any of them. Kind of the faith healers that some of you and that we know a lot of people used to run to. because they could, quote, heal. God was going to heal people at these meetings. You know what I'm talking about? But we seem to identify, boy, if you got cancer, and I've never heard in my memory the guy with the mic walking through the crowd, somebody here's got a tumor. Somebody here's leg. One leg is longer than the other. How many remember those guys, right? Somebody here, they're deaf in one ear. And God just kind of flashed through the hundreds of things that, quote, the preachers or the healers identified. I can't remember any time that began to speak to people that suffered with mental issues. Same body, same head, same mind, but seemingly over the life of the church that these amazing people used by God to heal left out a huge segment of our population. Do you hear my heart this morning? And we would run and flock and call people, you got to get to that healer because I know you're dealing with that stubbed toe and you better go. But it seems as if the Holy Spirit never directed men or women of God to help bring mental wholeness to the body of Christ. And I just have to kind of say, it strikes me as odd. And so coupled with the feeling that God put in my heart last night is that there is a healer in this house. And because I realize the stigma that has been or the inability for the church to address these kind of issues, I'll be quite honest with you this morning. I don't know what kind of response there will be today. Maybe there'll be no response. And to be honest, I'll be okay with that because today I'm simply just going to be obedient to, I know, God speaking to me and letting you know, and you're just going to have to go and deal with it from here. But I want to pray, and I'm going to ask our church leaders and people to come, and we are going to, as passionate as I have been for some of the physical needs I know that have been in this place in the last 10 years, those of you that have had cancer, those of you needed help with hearing, with your eyes, with all these other kind of things that we've identified, I want to be just as passionate this morning that if you have struggled with doubt, depression, fear, anxiety, you're overwhelmed, you're panicked, whatever, and maybe because of the fear of the stigma that you wouldn't dare get up out of your seat and come for prayer, I want you to hear today that you are precious in the sight of God, that your need and your issue is not separated from God's heart, from my heart, from this place today. And if you are struggling in any of those areas, you are loved by me, you are loved by this church. And we believe that there is a healer in this house to deliver you, to set you free, whether it's small, whether it's big, whether it's minor, whether it's professional. I can tell you today that God formed you, God created you, God understands the need of your body, your soul, and your spirit, and He is here to minister, maybe regenerating healing. Maybe you have been healed, maybe you have been getting better, but you dip from time to time, and God wants you to know that He is here again and again and again and again, and wholeness is going to be yours, that God loves you.